This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Wilmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
A's trying to sweep, but the Giants have certainly not made life easy for them tonight. It's a ground ball to the right side, speared by Phillips, flips Eckersley, yes! He's there in time, and the A's are the world champions.
Al Michaels on the call for ABC, the Bay Bridge Series in 1989, where the Oakland Athletics swept the San Francisco Giants 4-0. Of course, the series was marred by the earthquake there, October the 17th, which delayed the World Series for 9 to 10 days there. But a member of that squad, which was legit, there's no doubt how good that team was, and they're probably going to win the World Series anyway. Terry Steinbach, he joins us here on the River Islands guest line. Do not forget that all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands and Lathrop? And Terry, good morning to you. Thanks so much for joining us on such short notice. But we're going through memories here with the Oakland A's, and obviously the last game at the Oakland Coliseum for the Oakland Athletics is today at 12:30 against the Texas Rangers. And a lot of people are sharing their memories, and a lot of people bring up your name. Terry Steinbach at catcher alongside the Bass brothers, and Carney Lansford, and Tony La Russa, Ricky Henderson, a who's who of characters, and a loaded roster. Terry, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, you bet. Thanks for having me this morning.
When I bring up the Oakland A's, obviously that moment right there is probably one of your fondest memories of winning a World Series. Obviously, you're a three-time All-Star. But what else comes to mind when you think of the Oakland Coliseum and the Oakland Athletics?
I just think, you know, in the era that we played, you know, during my 11-year span out there with the Haas family, with Tony La Russa, with Sandy Alderson, our GM, and all that, what I remember was just the great atmosphere that the Oakland Coliseum carried, the fans that came out there, the energy that they brought. And I was just talking this past weekend, you know, for a alumni event, and I'll never, I tell the story all the time. When I went to Minnesota, you know, and then we're going back out to Oakland to play, and the Minnesota teammates are going, "Oh, those fans are nasty out there," and I'm like, "What? The Oakland A's fans nasty? No way," you know. But then when you go out there as a visitor, all right, and you're taking BP and you're shagging, and I can hear how intense and how enthused our fans were, and then I could go back to my Minnesota teammates at that time. Yeah, okay, I guess I know what you're talking about. But when we were playing out here, the fans are fantastic.
So, I mean, you're drafted by the A's, and your 88, 89, 90 teams were just They were unbelievable. Un-freaking-believable. And when I think about those teams, it was like star-studded. I was a Giants fan growing up, and it's like, wow, you got Mark McGwire, and you got Jose Canseco, and Ricky Henderson, and yourself, and I believe you're an All-Star Game MVP. It's like Dennis Eckersley, Tony La Russa. I mean, to say that you guys were star-studded and at the top of the sport is an understatement. What was it like being a part of those teams?
It was fantastic. I mean, you know, that's probably as close to a rock star status, you know, that I've ever been with the cast of characters that you mentioned. You got to throw, you know, Dave Stewart and Ricky Henderson in there as well. You know, some local boys, but it was a real cool time to be playing. And you know, it's you don't realize that while you're playing. Tony did a great job of trying to keep everybody focused on what our mission was. And our mission was very simple. It was just win. I mean, Tony didn't have a lot of rules. He didn't really care a lot. He said, look, just go out there and win. Play hard, try hard, and care about what you do. So we just went out there and we're, honestly, we're having a good time. I mean, you know, defense is doing what they're supposed to do. Our pitchers are doing what they're supposed to do. The offense, you know, is doing what they're supposed to do, whether it's move a guy over, get a guy in. I mean, you know, we were just out this weekend with Carney and Ricky, and we used to laugh, you know, how Ricky would get on first, Carney would take a pitch or two, he would steal second, Carney would hit him over third, and then Dave Henderson would come in and drive him in, and we're winning 1-0. You know, and it's not till, you know, this many years after we've been gone and with what's happening to the Coliseum that you really get a great chance to reflect, you know, on, man, you know, we were pretty good. We did do a lot of good things, and you know, you look at some of the numbers and home runs and runs and defense, and it's like, yeah, that was a fun time to be out there playing.
No doubt. We're talking to Terry Steinbach, All-Star Game MVP, 3-time All-Star, and of course, a World Series champ with the A's in 1989. So I don't want to leave yourself short because you caught a lot of those great pitchers. You brought up Dave Stewart, one of the greatest postseason pitchers in my history, in my lifetime, for sure. You caught Bob Welch, who won 27 games one season. Dennis Eckersley, who I think walked like 12 dudes in 4 years. So for you being behind a backstop, what was it like catching these great pitchers? Storm Davis was on his staff at one point. What was it like for you to catch these legends that Dave Stewart, Eckersley, Welch, and they're on and on and on? You guys had great pitching to go alongside that great lineup.
Yeah, we got to throw Mike Moore out there, too. Mike Him Moore, and Stewart, yeah. Game one, game two, game three, game four winners in 89. Mm-hmm. But it was fun. I mean, I guess, and for me personally, my timing getting into the big leagues couldn't have been better. So here I'm a 1 to 2 to 3 year rookie, you know, catcher, and I'm catching a staff like that. And they were gracious enough to work with me. Dave Duncan, our pitching coach, Renee Latchman, our catching coach. And we spent a lot of time, you know, learning the art of game calling, learning how to run a staff, learning when to go out there and kick a guy in the butt, and learning when to go out there and calm a guy down. And, you know, I give tons of credit to my 14-year career based on having those veteran pitchers, those fun guys that taught me, you know, hey, this is how the game is played. This is what you have to do. And it doesn't mean there was a controversy. You know, I mean, there was a couple of times I'd go out to talk to Stu on the mound, you know, Dunk and Tony saying, hey, go talk to him. And I'd go out there and Stu would be like, Steiny, what the hell are you doing out here? I go, well, dang it, Stu, if you'd be getting guys out, I wouldn't have to come out here. And he'd go, turn around and go back there and catch it. You know, so no, we had a lot of fun. And it was a fantastic staff to catch.
Yeah, Terry, you said you saw a bunch of the guys before. And just what's the sentiment? What's the sentiment for people that spent a big chunk of their primes as baseball players at that stadium in this community? Some of them, like Dave Stewart and Ricky Henderson, from the community originally. What's the sentiment about just what's happening right now?
You know, it really sunk in this past weekend. I mean, I was out there a month and a half ago for the A's Hall of Fame induction and playing the Giants. And, you know, that was very, very hectic. Yeah, it's the last season. Yeah, okay. But, you know, there's still like a month and a half left. But when we went out there on Sunday for the last alumni weekend, it happened to be a home game with the Yankees, and you're walking around the field and you're seeing, hey, this is it. You know, we're talking to so many A's employees that we knew, security guards and parking lot attendants and front office people. And a lot of them, you know, October 31st is it. And we're like, what? I mean, some of these guys have been here 30, 40 years. You know, we knew our kids grew up in that ballpark. So when we went out to this weekend, it was very sentimental. You know, it kind of hits you that this is it. I mean, you know, our careers, what we did, big part of our family upbringing, you know, was all took place in that stadium. And now, you know, without getting into the political aspect or whatever,
right,
but this is it. You know, it's today at 2:30, you know, that's the last time games we played out there.
You know, Terry, you brought up the Haas family and you brought up Sandy Alderson, and obviously that front office, that ownership group were very involved, and they were really intense about winning, and they wanted to win at the highest level. When you look at what's happened over the last decade with this ownership group, John Fisher and Dave Cavill, what comes to your mind? Because it is really sad that you have an owner who's been basically absent throughout this entire stretch and is kind of hid there. What is it like as a player to know that you got an absentee owner? I'm sure you never played for one because you went to the Twins afterwards and they have a great ownership group. But what is it like from afar to watch an owner not give a damn about his organization?
See, it's hard to comment because you're not there. You know, I read what people are writing, and you know, you listen to things that are being said. And for us, experiencing what we did with the Haas family was just through the roof. I mean, mm-hmm. we had Mr. Haas would ask Tony, "Hey, do you think the players would mind if I come on the field and stand behind the backstop and watch guys take the pee?" I don't want to bother anybody. We're like, "Well, Mr. Haas, you're the owner. I mean, yeah, absolutely, come on down." And he was very, very approachable. He was very friendly. He was obviously very engaged with the fans. And if we needed a player, you know, I'll never forget '89 when we picked up Ricky halfway through the season. I mean, you know, it was like, "Hey, Tony goes to Sandy. Sandy goes to Mr. Haas. Hey, you know, if we can get Ricky, you know, we think we can win that World Series championship." And it was, yep. Let's do it. So for me to go through here in Oakland and in Minnesota with the Polat family, mm-hmm. That are engaged, that are in tune with what the fans are saying and want to win, and then to hear what is being, you know, reported out of the Bay Area, that it just seems that there's a extreme disconnect. And I agree with you. I think it'd be very, very difficult to be in that position with a professional franchise and not realize or not know or understand what your fans, you know, what the people that come and support you, what they're going through.
You know, Terry, I understand this is a difficult question, and I admit it on the front end. But, you know, as a guy who was a part of some great teams, and you're one of the proud alumni of this organization, and the fans want to see you guys. Do you feel like they've done a good enough job, this ownership group, kind of, you know, celebrating their past and making people like yourself feel welcome and a part of not just the present but the future and indoctrinating the new generation of fans to what their old legacies were?
I'm going to say yeah. I mean, we've had our reunion teams. We've had our, you know, I was fortunate to be on the top 50 player celebration that they had. I've been out there for a few of the other things they incorporated. Like I said, myself in with the alumni weekend. So I think, I can comfortably say that for me, that in the last 10 years, ownership has not forgotten about the history of the A's. I mean, Carney Lancer is a good friend of Joe Rudy. I got to know Joe real well, and I know those 72, 73, 74 teams, I think, have been honored and recognized out there as well. I guess the question would be, where do we go from here? You know, what happens to that rich history? What happens to that winning tradition? What happens to the legacy that, you know, 30 years of A's baseball? How do you blend that forward? How do you move that forward? I mean, does anything happen in Sacramento and if and when that stadium gets built in Vegas, what carries over, you know? And I guess those are questions that, you know, time's going to tell. We don't have the answer to that yet, and I'm not saying it's going to be bad, and I'm not saying it's going to be great. It's just, we don't know. There's so many directions that the athletics, I guess, you know, moving forward after today, you know, there's so many directions that they could go with that.
Before we let you go, what would your message be to the A's fans that are lined up right now at the Coliseum listening to the show? They're getting ready for this last regular season game. Yeah. What would your message be to them, Jerry?
We got that question a lot this weekend, and my message to the fans would be thank you. I mean, the era that we played, we wouldn't have won our championships. We wouldn't have been as successful as we were if it weren't for our fans. And I'm going to tell you a quick story here. I do a lot with ALS here in Minnesota. And Kent Herbig's dad died of ALS. Yeah. And I told him that, hey, I got to catch an early flight Sunday to get out to the Coliseum for the last Sunday day game there. And he goes, man, he said, I just want to tell you one thing. He said, your stadium, Oakland A's Coliseum, had the best music, had the greatest fans. And he said, when we stepped in there as a visiting team, that place was rocking. And, you know, to me, coming from a non-biased guy, you know, a guy who went out there back in our era, you know, twice a year, you know, we had the East and the West. Mm-hmm. And he would make that comment about our fans and about our stadium. To me, that said a lot about the work that the ownership did and the support that our fans gave us for all those years. So I would my quick message would be, a giant thank you, you know, to all of them that are going to be out there today.
Well, a lot of A's fans are thanking you for joining us today, and they bring you up all the time. We bring up those 88, 89, 90 teams. And sometimes we always talk about, man, they only ended up with one World Series, but one is better than none. And you guys have some legendary teams. But Terry Steinbach, you're a legend in a lot of A's fans' minds. And as a Giants fan as well, we knew who you were. You threw out a lot of guys, and you made life a living hell for a lot of American League base runners there. So, Terry, thanks so much for the time today, man.
Well, thank you. And thank you guys for all your support as well. I know you're in the Bay Area, but I mean, to me, there was both sides always promoted baseball. So again, thank you guys for what you've done.
Good Absolutely. Stuff. Terry Steinbach here on the River Islands guest line. A lot of good stuff there. And his message to the fans there. He's right. Because when he started talking about the music at the Coliseum, I instantly thought about Oracle Arena. And one thing your favorite player, LeBron James, says, Shasky, I'm joking there, but LeBron would say, boy, it's always a vibe in Oakland. It's like a concert before the game. And they're trying to do that at Chase Center. But in Oakland, when you get the Oracle Arena, they got the bands playing, they got the music. It's just a vibe. And that's Oakland, California. And we're going to miss that in pro sports. That vibe. There's no tailgate like a Raider tailgate. I'll fully admit it. I first went to an Oakland Raider tailgate. I was like, wow. Wow. I mean, it was lit. You want to talk about lit? And the Niners do their thing. There's no doubt about it. The Niner Empire as well. But Oakland was a vibe. And we're going to miss that in pro sports. Very, very unique and underrated. Unless you experience it, you wouldn't know.
No, you're 100% correct. And it's just the old school way of going to games feels like it's going out the window. You know,
you get the paper tickets, Shasky.
Well, I still collect tickets, but now they're all digital.
They're all digital. Exactly.
You can't do anything. I'm talking about, like, I have a book of all my tickets that I have from back in the day. You're right about the vibe, man. Nothing's gonna capture that. There's a party atmosphere where it's so many different cultures vibing as one as you're walking into those games. I mean, is there a better stretch walking in than getting off of BART, going over that bridge, and feeling, smelling, sensing the aromas that are out?
Nah.
It's just, it's its own little thing. I don't know how else to describe it.
Just a fan of the game. Big Dog City has season tickets at the Coliseum for Raider Cave. So Big Dog is he's one of my best friends, my brother, and he's one of the most frugal individuals I know. He will try to cut costs at all. I mean, the guy, I don't mean to put his business out there.
Slap the guy.
Yeah, I don't mean to put his business out there.
Frugal when he's going to like Baltimore Ravens games every other week.
Well, when you take Spirit Airlines, you can go do that.
I know Spirit fly that far.
He's
holding the door shut as it's landing off to save $3.
Big Dog will get to point A to point B without a problem, no matter what. But we would, obviously you didn't want to park in the Coliseum, so we'd have to walk that bridge, and walking in there, you hear Raiders. And you'd be like, oh, here we go again. I'll wear my Niner beanie to let them know, like, hey, I'm a Niner fan, but I'm just enjoying the NFL. But that's a lot of fun games we watched there, man. And the vibe, I'm telling you, man, the vibe there, watching LT score touchdowns and Raider fans walking out disappointed, and then they start instantly talking trash to you. They won some big games there. I think they had a game against the Lions, and they thought they were back. The Raider fans thought they were back. The Lions did something stupid at the goal line. You remember what
Yeah, Matt Stafford, I don't think they could get it in at the end of the game. Yep. And then Hunter Renfrow had the game-winning touchdown as a rookie, I think.
Let me guess, Brandon Pettigrew was blocking for a Matt Stafford team.
Probably. Pettigrew always available
in fantasy to get you either 2 points or nine.
Oh, nothing more,
nothing less.
Oh, man.
I don't think Vanden Bosch was there anymore.
Who was the running back for the... this is going to drive me nuts.
Joik Bell?
Joik Bell was sick.
Joik Bell had a run. Just one of those
random ones.
Number 45.
Him and Reggie Bush. Yeah. They were splitting carries. Joik Bell had a year. He had a run.
He had a year.
Joik Bell had a year. He had a run in Detroit.
He had a year. He did.
Joik Bell had a run. No, he had a couple years. Joik Bell was sick.
He had a year. He did not have a couple.
Oh, man. So hopefully the vibe, Oakland A's fans could just recreate that vibe one last time today at the Coliseum as they shed tears, as they get emotional over the last game at the Coliseum. Hopefully they could feel that vibe one more time in that parking lot there at the Oakland Coliseum. Let's squeeze in a couple calls before the break.
Joik Bell had 1 year of 800 yards.
He was sick. He's truck dudes.
Six starts that year.
Christmas tree. Let's get back to Christmas tree. Let's get to Jose and San Jose. Squeeze in a couple calls here before the break. What's up, Christmas tree?
Hey, guys. Hey, just wanted to say, I was just going to those A's games when we were in the bleachers. When they had the old green uniforms and they had A's baseball, Billy baseball. Remember that little chant mm-hmm. they used to have? I remember seeing MC Hammer out there as a bad boy.
Wow.
And he had Hammer on his back with his name because they said that he looked like Hank Aaron. So, you know, used to go out there to fireworks on the field. You know, I'm out there on the field watching the fireworks. I said, man, the Raiders played out here in the Invaders. I don't know if y'all remember.
Oh, yeah, Oakland Invaders. Hey, Christmas tree, Bobby Hebert, Anthony Carter.
There you go. And one time I was in downtown Oakland when Dave Stewart had his Wendy's. He was in there when he first opened it up. I had to buy me a single with cheese because I didn't want to feel bad, you know, not buying nothing, coming up and saying hey to him. We used to sneak by Joe Morgan's house up there in the hills by Skyline High School. Used to walk up there and try to see if we could see Joe Morgan. We used to try to ring the bell to see if he would come out. I met Tony Phillips when he was a rookie. He kind of signed my hat. I was leaning on Ricky Henderson's Mercedes. He said, man, get off my car. And I was kind of saying, come on, Ricky. And he slammed the door and drove off, but it was all good. I remember all those days, you know, eating the nachos in the bleachers. I think every summer I went, like, to every game. They was giving out baseball bats, hat day, all that type of stuff. I would catch the 57. Now I work for AC Transit. But, yeah, I catch the 57 over there, and all that time is gone now. I just went when they played Detroit. Tried to get those memories back, and it's going to be a sad day. But I'm going to drive myself up there to the SAC.
Christmas Street. You said you still drive for AC Transit?
No, I'm a manager there now. I've been there tonight.
My little brother used to drive for AC Transit. Brioni and Damon Britton was up there at AC Transit.
I know Damon Britton.
Oh, yeah.
I've been there 19 years.
Oh, yeah. So you definitely.
Getting ready to hang it up.
You definitely knew my little brother there, Brioni.
I'm jealous. But I'm David ready Britton, to hang it up.
But Damon Britton, man, tell him to be on schedule, man. He's always late on his routes.
Hey, man. Sometimes it ain't his fault, man.
I know.
He drives with Max Ray. Never on time, always late. On the Bay Bridge or the Golden Gate.
Hey, like I said, I was out there last night. I drove by the Haas Street. You know, they got their street in San Leandro named after the Haas family, and that kind of brought back some memories. I said, man, you know, they used to own the team, and now they're gone. But that's all right. I'm still a fan. I listen to you guys all the time. Y'all see me down there at the summit, you know, Walnut Creek and San Ramon. Me and my wife was down there, walked up on y'all. Y'all very, very nice and nice to her. Oh, appreciate that. I know she's listening right now on her way to work. But anyway, love y'all show. Just wanted to call in. You probably hear from me again when it get close to Christmas when I tell you about these five Christmas trees.
Let's go. Christmas tree.
Oh no, yeah, I remember you. Oh man. I can't believe you got five Christmas trees. You know, we gotta go through that again.
There is something about, you know.
Do you already have a Christmas tree, Shasky?
It just the Oakland A's and what they meant to the community, and then the generations of baseball talent coming out of the East Bay. And in particular, I'm in, you know, black baseball talent.
Yeah.
Black baseball talent. I think that's one of the things that's really powerful. As I go to Twin Creeks and Fremont for baseball tournaments and stuff, you know, you don't see a lot of young black kids playing ball, right? You just don't like you used to. And to think that now an entire generation of East Bay fans, there's going to be even less of them, like, I don't know, man. It doesn't sit well with me.
No, it doesn't. We'll take everybody's calls here. We're going to punt on Jermaine Wiggins. Doesn't feel appropriate today. Jermaine Wiggins is a good friend of the program, but no, it's the A's day, man. If we're going to do it, we got to do it today. It's the last regular season game at Oakland, California. This was not planned. This was not planned to go in-depth with this. I just thought we'd bring it up. And you never know where the show may go. And people want to talk and talk about their memories. So let's celebrate the rich history of the Oakland Athletics in Oakland, California, man. Let's do that on the other side. We'll continue to do that. Everybody's got something to say. Jose, you're on deck. Corey and Castlemont. We'll get to everybody here on the Morning Roast. Brought to you by Safeway Northern California Division.
Hey, yo, this is your man. You're listening to the 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky. Oh, baby.
That was a 2012 ALDS. Dan Orsillo, who's now the voice of the Padres. That was on TNT as they broadcast playoff games. And Coco Chris, a legendary A with the Afro. Center field, he embraced it. What about Ramon Laureano? I mean, some of the throws he's had in the outfield.
Cespedes? You know,
yeah. Eric Sogard. the face of the baseball.
Glasses, yeah. Power?
Yeah. You know, it is interesting to me because, like, I think about the Bay Area and just how diverse everything is here, you know? And I want to go back to this topic because you're a black guy that loves baseball.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them,
Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right. Yeah. And people go, oh, we're gonna bring about race because it matters. It does matter. And like, I'm a big believer in like sports is the great equalizer. Okay. What tall, short, can you play?
Yeah.
Right. You know, whether you're rich or poor, can you play?
Yeah.
Whether you're black or white, can you play? Whether you're Latin or Asian or whatever you are, like, can you play? Boy or girl, can you play? Right. And it's a great equalizer. And I think about just Oakland and the Oakland A's and the Oakland fans and the players that represented those organizations. And it's just, I keep coming back to like they were such an inclusionary organization and such an evolutionary step forward for just what you see. Jimmy Rollins, CC Sabathia,
yeah,
you
know, Dontrelle Willis.
Dontrelle Willis, exactly. And I think about like Ricky Henderson and Dave Stewart, who you constantly are referencing, and I'm glad you are. Shooty Babbitt, Bip Robertson. Right. And like I think about all the baseball that I played growing up and all the teams that I had, and all my coaches were black. And I was one of two or three white boys, yeah, on a St. Mary's Park team that everybody was black. And now I go to all these tournaments and I see this, and there's very few. There's just very few young black men playing baseball. And yeah, it freaking sucks, you know?
It's been like that for a while.
And well, but I think that there are people that are trying to bring it back, and right, I don't want to make it sound like it's like we have to have this or that. My point being is that when you take a team out of a community that is as diverse, yeah, as the Oakland A's, as the Oakland community is, and the East Bay in general, you are losing that. And now you're seeing less people have an opportunity to go to affordable games, to see players that look like them, to go to these yeah, big league spots. And it just sucks. I mean, it really, 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 really sucks. And I know we have a ton of Dominican players and Cuban players, and there's a lot of black players you see now, but they're not American, you know? And not that you have to be. It's just I would like to see more inclusion. And I go to these tournaments, I just don't see enough of it.
Well, and I don't know if you're ever going to see enough of it because of basketball and AAU and the Flash. And, you know, you could make a lot of money in baseball, but think about how hard it is to make the major leagues. You got to go through single A, double A, triple A. You're playing in towns that are not friendly towards other ethnicities. You know, you're going to towns that may not be so kind to you. You're getting called words left and right. I'm wearing a Birmingham jersey, and we all remember what Reggie Jackson said at Rickwood Field this year about playing in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. You know, Willie Mays had to go through this. And so, there's so many other sports that are exploding. You got soccer exploding. I'm seeing black people play hockey, for crying out loud. People forget. So I don't know if we're ever going to see that. And I don't know if baseball is down. Like, I know a lot of youth are playing it, but mm-hmm, I still see the high schools, and I still see some of the minors, and I still hear people talking about it. And it's just, I don't know if it's resonating anymore. I don't know. Well, but it is sad, because I played baseball. It was honestly my first love. It was 1A, 1B, yeah, with the 49ers and the Giants, and basketball was 1C. It was a big gap between basketball and baseball and football.
Yeah.
And we played every day. Marty Lurie's got this documentary coming out, and I was just in my old neighborhood a couple weeks ago filming a little spot for that documentary, and where we played baseball, and I was explaining, like, look, that garage right there was our home plate.
Yeah.
This gate, which is about 30 feet away, was our home run fence, and we, every morning, all the kids who lived in this apartment complex that I was living in, get up in the morning, we go to Walgreens, we shoplift a wiffle bat, we go get a ball, and we go play baseball all damn day, and the cars are our bases. But yeah, we loved it, to the point where my grandmother, to get me out of the neighborhood, would say, just go to the Giants game. I was 11 years old going to Giants games by myself, and would just meet people, talk to people, bring a newspaper, have my sardines, yeah, and Ritz crackers, because my grandma would do it, have me with this cooler and whatnot. And that's because we love baseball. She goes, I know you love baseball. You cried. I cried over baseball when I was a kid. So, you know, I don't know whether or not black players are going to play it more, or, you can't really do nothing about that.
No, but I guess what I'm saying is that when you rip a team from a community in the way, yeah, that they have, it leaves up a big hole, a void. There's a void to fill. And I just think about, all like, again, like, soccer is one thing because 22 kids essentially can play with one ball.
Yep.
And you can play with turf shoes or tennis shoes or whatever. In baseball, everyone's got to have a glove, right?
Right.
And you got to have bats, and now you got to have helmets, and then, oh, you got to play in these tournaments. The price point is just through the roof, and it's not like it was when we were growing up. And I mean, I know it's never going to turn back around, but the point that I'm getting at is that a team like the Oakland A's, with the fan base that they had, it represented a part of the community and the culture that is underrepresented nationally. Yeah. And when you go to a tailgate at an Oakland A's game, it sounds and feels and is different for a reason, because that team represented that community to a T. And it just sucks that it feels like everything's being homogenized in the sports world, all for a dollar.
That was the beauty of both Bay Area teams. And we'll get to the calls in just a second here. We'll get to Jose's, been on hold for over an hour. Both baseball teams in the Bay Area represented all ethnicities, the diversity of the Bay Area. Asian players, Latin players, black players. And I think the Giants, you know, not to make this about the Giants, but I think the Giants have lost a lot of their luster, a lot of their swagger, because look at their players. Look at the team and how it's represented. It doesn't represent what San Francisco or the Bay Area used to be in terms of a diverse community. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a lot of white players, and that's fine. I don't care, but we look at the representation. You don't have a lot of black players on the Giants. You didn't have a lot of Latins on the Giants. You didn't have a lot of Asians on the Giants. That's why I'm so excited. Like, I hope Jung-Hoo Lee pans out. He could be a rock star out here.
You know,
he represents a different community here in the Bay Area.
You, like, part of the appeal of Shohei Ohtani is he's a Japanese-born player.
Exactly.
He represented in multiple, not just Japan, but just at that ethnicity as a whole.
Well, look at the Dodgers. They represent L.A., a diverse city. Got the Latin players, you got the black players, you got white players, you got everything.
Fernando Mania was so big.
Exactly.
You know?
But that's where the Giants have kind of missed the boat there, having that. Go ahead, I want you to get in here. But I think the Giants, for over the last decade, part of the problem is they haven't been as diverse, so they don't appeal to everybody out here.
Well, it's a good point, you and Chasky bringing up just, you know, the black player in Oakland, because right now they have one of the young studs in the game this year, Lawrence Butler. Born and raised, he's an African-American. He was an A's sixth-round pick a couple years ago. You don't think keeping a guy like that in this community, the way he plays, the bravado in which he plays, kids growing up could see him being the face of your franchise. Him and Brett Rooker, by the way, they've been like the best tandem outside of Juan Soto and Aaron Judge in baseball since the All-Star break. They've been that legit, and watching him play with that flair, a young player, and you're removing him from this, like, that's the thing that annoys me too as an A's fan. Like, you're actually getting talent now this year. Like, I know a lot of people haven't been watching the actual A's team, but they're actually kind of, they were going to have 70 wins this year.
Yeah, I know.
Like, Mark Kotze deserves some, like, manager of the year votes because of that. Like, they decimated this team. They tried to be major league, and they've been one of the best teams in baseball the last couple months. So it's frustrating from that perspective when you have a guy like Lawrence Butler that can tap into a community like Oakland, and now you're just snatching that away.
I agree. I totally agree. Listen, and like, Butler's a kid, if you look with the stuff he wears, it's the drip the 13-year-olds want to wear.
Of swag.
It's the yellow Bruce Bolts with the yellow elbow band with the
sunglasses.
Yeah, the big Oakleys. Yep. Like, all the kids want to dress like him. He has an aura about him. He just needs to be somewhat decent, and he will connect and he'll resonate.
Let's go to the Lions, because I can already know where this conversation could potentially lead to, and I don't want to go down that road on a day
just,
like today.
Just
so let's
thoughts.
Go to Jose in San Jose. Jose, what's
happening?
Hey,
Jose.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on it today. I appreciate everything you guys are doing and giving us a platform to speak.
No problem.
So it's more of a personal story for me. Growing up as a young Latino in the East Bay during the 80s was pretty tough. Family life was not that great. So I would scrounge up money, you know, take the 72 to the BART, take the BART to the stadium, get the little round trip ticket, and sit there for 3 hours and forget. We don't have that no more, man. This hurts. This hurts bad. So thank you guys, and I hope Mr. Fisher is listening, because you're really just, you're crushing us, man. You're hurting us bad, and you just don't know it. So I pray they stay, but I know it's a long shot. But thanks, fellas. I appreciate it.
Have a good day. Big hug, bro.
You know, he brought up that he had 3 hours to forget about his reality. And that's what sports did for me as a kid. And I relate to Jose in so many different ways because I had a hard time growing up. we couldn't even afford a movie for four. It was tough in our household. And everything happening around the community, drugs, violence, it was a lot. It was an absolute lot. But as Jose in San Jose said, whenever there was a game on, I knew that was my escape. When the paper got released in the morning, in the San Francisco Chronicle or the Examiner, I'd buy both of those bad boys, the afternoon edition of the Examiner, the Chronicle, and I would escape the harsh reality. And that's what a lot of A's fans are going through right now. A lot of people like Jose in San Jose, who didn't have a lot growing up, they had Ricky Henderson. They had Ruben Sierra when he got traded for Jose Canseco. They had the big three. They had 3 hours to escape. And so for some young man who's out there in Oakland, California, some young lady who is struggling, who is a diehard A's fan, and they're leaving, they may not have that escape anymore for 3 hours, for 4 hours. And so that I felt that from Jose. His childhood memories of escaping whatever his reality was, the hardships of his life, that's all gone now. And that doesn't get talked about enough. It doesn't get discussed enough when it comes to ripping a sports team away from your town, ripping a sports team away from your city. And so guys like Jose and San Jose, I feel for those guys. I feel for Big Tom 49er Tone, who called the first call of the day. I feel, took his daughter to a game last week, and she's never going to go see the A's in person unless he drives up to Sacramento. That's going to be a harsh reality, saying this team was in my backyard, and now they don't represent my community. And they've gone to the 916. And, you know, I'm not mad at Sacramento fans for loving getting the Oakland A's. They get pro baseball, and I would be excited, too, if I was getting pro baseball and I lived in Sacramento. But guys like Jose and San Jose, thinking about the dark times and what got him through the dark times was Oakland A's baseball. And he no longer has that, Shasky.
Yeah, and you know, I was just thinking, like, when people wear the jerseys, you know, Oakland across the chest, there's a civic pride attached to it, you know? And you feel like, you know, your team is representing you and people in the community. And it's just to see that ripped away when it's really not their choice at all. It's just, I keep coming back to, there is a small civic duty that a sports franchise owes its community. I'm not saying it's the end all be all to care about every little nook and cranny, but yeah, part of being in the community is caring about the community.
Yeah.
And it just feels like the A's have not truly cared about their community and their consumer and their fan base. I'm talking about the owner, yeah, the owner, yep, for years. These people love them, and they don't love them back.
Nope, not at all. Let's go to Corey in Castlemont. Corey, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, buddy? What's up, Vontae and Shasky? What's you up, guys are the best of the best over the history of sports talk shows, and there have been some great ones here. But we needed to hear from Jose. You guys treated him like you treat the rest of us, family, like one big family. That's why we'll stay on for an hour waiting, because we know we're going to get a chance to speak. Wow. Now, Vontae, I was with you and Stuart Pareliot and Donald Foyle and Man to Man at the Warriors practice facility months ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we got a chance to talk. Yeah. And I was TLC, 76 champions, Castlemont. We set the table in 75 for Treetop Robinson, Donnie Martin, Gary McCoy, Donald Seals, and others. And I'm going to show my age now, because in 68, my dad took me to a baseball game. Cesar Tovar, Minnesota Twins leadoff hitter, Rod Carew second, Tony Oliva third, Harmon Killebrew fourth, Rich Reese batting fifth, fouled the ball up into the third deck. I was 11 years old, and balls rarely come up there. I stood up, reached out, dropped my popcorn, ball hit me in the middle of the hands. Fell out, rolled under the seat. Everybody dove for the ball, and here comes the ball rolling out to my feet. I picked it up and waved it to the crowd, and never looked back from them. But here's the thing: my brother Clay, our friend Timmy Miles, we used to walk from 101st and E Street along the train track to 66 to go to the Coliseum before BART was built. We'd be eating those blackberries along the train tracks. And while everybody else was doing the seventh inning stretch, we'd be doing the seventh inning. We were original members of Reggie's regiment in right field. He hits 47 home runs his second year. The A's brought him up briefly in 67 before they left Kansas City, but he played enough time where they considered him not a rookie the second year, or he would have had the record. He had 47 home runs that year. Wow. Now, in my lifetime, there were six. I've seen six professional sports teams. We've seen the Oakland Seals. We've seen the ABA Oakland Oaks. Connie Hawkins was a good friend of my dad's. He used to come by the house when the Pittsburgh Pipers. That's where my family's from, Pittsburgh. Highway 80 here goes all the way across to Ocean City, Maryland, 3,079 miles.
Wow.
Straight across Highway 80. There was the Oakland Raiders. We went to our first Raiders game at Laney College at Frank Yule Field.
Wow.
Before the Coliseum was built. Then you had the Warriors. The A's, the Raiders, the Warriors, the Seals, the Oakland Stompers.
Yep.
And now, in my lifetime, there's not going to be a professional major league sports franchise here in the Bay Area, and it's really atrocity. The ball girl who stayed up the street from me, Sally, 17 years old, wearing those hot pants. You know, Charlie Finley was an innovator. Sally was Sally Fields, Miss Fields Cookies. The Miss Fields Cookies lady was the ball girl for the A's back then. You know, I went to Skyline in the 10th. Rupert Jones played Major League Baseball, was at Berkeley High then. Then I got in trouble at Skyline, came down the hill to Castlemont. That's why I wound up playing basketball at Castlemont. Dave Stewart played against him. He played at St. Elizabeth. I'm glad he stuck to baseball because he played basketball like Clifford Ray used to play for the Warriors. If you drove that lane, he put a pork chop on you. Gary Pettis played for me. He was at Castlemont with me. Played against Ricky Henderson. He played football, baseball, and basketball at Oakland Tech. Oakland had and then we used to play at Greenman Field, which is Beta Pinson Field at Havens Court. We used to play Little League Baseball with Mr. Morgan. Joe Morgan's dad was a baseball coach there. The history of sports in the Bay Area was just unprecedented. Football, baseball, basketball. And now everybody, I was talking to Mike Norris. We work on some programs together in the community and stuff. He was telling me some things that both of you guys touched on about why you don't see as many blacks in Major League Baseball. You know, at one time, there was over 60% of Major League Baseball was black in the 70s. I remember the All-Star game in Detroit where Reggie Jackson hit that ball off the, off the lighting
Tiger
system,
Stadium.
You know? Yeah. And earlier that year, I got two balls in one game. Willie Horton threw us one at batting practice that I caught. And then Mickey Stanley, I think, hit a home run, and I got two balls in one game. Of course, we went and played ball with those baseballs and hit them over the fence and lost them. We didn't even realize the value of holding on to things and stuff like that there. We used to go to Candlestick Park back when before they closed it up. You could see the ocean behind the bleachers in right field, you know. And they used to have this Croy the Stick thing where you'd get a pin if you stayed for late inning, you know, because it got cold as hell out there, pardon the French. And me and my brother, we were raised with both parents. We had the best of everything, man. And we had a baby sister. We had the unmitigated gall to eat up all of our money. So we were stuck at Candlestick having to get back to East Oakland. But me with my bright ideas, we said, let's just catch a cab. We caught a cab from Candlestick to my dad's club in Oakland. And if he didn't used to be a policeman, he would have probably put us on West MacArthur, if you know what the whole story, we would have had to make that money back up that we blew. We just popped up and said, Dad, there's a cab outside waiting to get paid. He said, paid for what? We said, oh, we got stuck out of Candlestick. We didn't have any money. He looked at us like we had lost our mind.
Wow.
You know, all of those memories, though, man. We were at Three River Stadium in 71 when Bob Gibson no-hit the Pittsburgh Pirates 11-0.
Wow. Can I ask you a question? You know, you sound like a guy that you've lived a little, in the words of Radnich, and I appreciate it. And like a lot of your experiences, I think a lot of people listening, myself included, we feel it and share it. You know, I think about what this owner did and the amount of money. Forget the money that he was trying to get from the community to help basically his private entity, okay? Think of how much money he wasted dragging his feet and faking trying to work out a deal. Had a fraction of the money this community used to negotiate with him over the years been put to our parks and recs and our communities? Because I had gym directors, it sounds like you had gym directors, Reggie Gage and Reggie Milligan and Racer and all these guys that would, hundreds of kids would go play there. If a fraction of the money this guy, John Fisher, wasted from our community went to those parks to help the thousands of kids like you, me, Bonte, and all the people listening, imagine how many kids would have had experiences like we had. Because it's all gone now. And I think about the wasted money that this owner, John Fisher, not caring about our community, faking it for a decade, like all of that could have gone to schools and to parks. And it's just, honestly, it makes me sick.
You hit the nail on the head, because in college sports, when the University of Texas or these schools, they get tons of money for these bowl games. When they build a new stadium, they use their money. The money that gets used to appease these owners, we don't get any return on. Yep. They tax us. A lot of people who pay taxes into these things don't even watch sports. They take money out of the education system, the public schools. I work with Contra Costa County public schools. So there's so much politics in the schools and stuff. But when they'll steal money that's predicated for education and stuff, if the team stays, a lot of times it costs the community, because the people who invest in it are you and I. We don't get any return on that money. They get to keep all that profit. And at the end of the day, Fisher knew at the end of the day that it's a profit for him no matter how it goes. And I heard that the only thing that might save us is the fact that when they go to Sacramento, when they go up there, playing on that, they're going to have to make AstroTurf. There's so many games, that field will be beat up. So they're trying to figure out how to put AstroTurf down. If they put AstroTurf down, what's going to wind up happening is it'll be 80 degrees is 130 degrees on AstroTurf field.
Great call, Corey. And remember, Man to Man, that was a hell of a night. We're Donald Foyle and I and Stewart, who runs Man to Man, that program, we're only supposed to speak for like 30 minutes. We end up doing like an hour and a half because the stories were just riveting. And there's a lot of young men who, a lot of older guys too, who have been in jail and they're single fathers trying to figure out their lives or whatnot. Mm-hmm. Just some powerful, powerful stories. That was a night I'll never forget over there at the Rakuten Performance Center. Let's go back out really to the cool lines, man. It was really cool, man.
Great call from Corey.
A lot of good calls
here. His voice,
let's go
again
to Christian in Oakland. Christian, what's happening?
I'm on the roast. I appreciate you guys, what you guys are doing, the platform and everything. God bless you all. But let's get three things straight. I got to raise awareness about everything. John Fisher, Libby Schaff, and our most recent mayor in Oakland are the reason why we are gone. I went to college outside the state, but like I said, I grew up in Oakland. I'm a 90s baby, so just missed the 80s and 70s, all that good winning. But, of course, grew up in that Coliseum, Raiders, A's, Warriors, all that good stuff. But when I went out to college, I started hearing the rumblings about Raiders possibly move in. So for over a decade, it's been torture just reading all these articles and trying to see, like, you know, is my city actually going to fumble this, you know? And all of our valuable assets, I mean, the Raiders, the A's, the Warriors, like, it's not it's a privilege to have a sports team in your city. You know what I mean? There's so many cities across the world. There's only 32 NFL teams. So I think, I know Oakland didn't take it as serious as they needed to. And the pride and the economy was at stake. And how can the town thrive now? I mean, everybody knows what's going on in our city now. The energy is just not there because they treat us like they don't care. Like, they give us no respect in our city. And while I was away, I was just keeping tabs on everything, just seeing all the stadium proposals, all the flaws in it. I mean, they wanted something with Howard Terminal that they knew darn well was not going to happen. And they lied about it, the mayors and, of course, John Fisher. And in my worst nightmares, I could never imagine a city losing a team, especially in the modern day. Like, This isn't the 40s or 50s where we're just figuring out these leagues, you know what I mean? And right. We know that these that they mean so much to the community. And like you guys said, all these generational players, I mean, I was there as a young kid seeing, like, when, literally my second game, I believe, as a baby. I don't remember, but Ricky Henderson broke the record for stolen bases. And, you know, that brings the community together. And I feel they're trying to tear down Oakland, you know what I mean? And, like I said, this is one of the loudest. This is one of the loudest sports towns, and every sports city deserves a new stadium after a certain while. You know what right. I mean? I was there at the Candlestick. My cousin was diehard Niner fan, and I remember being in that parking lot and him not wanting to leave Candlestick. So like, and being a Raider and an A, like I know all of the Bay Area NorCal wins when we're together. Like our market was good enough to have multiple teams like a New York and Chicago. And before the Raiders left, we were the fourth biggest sports market, and now we dropped below 10, which affects you guys on the radio, too. You know what I mean? It doesn't help at all. And I'm getting emotional. Like, it's a long time. My grandparents came here from Louisiana. They first went out to Hunters Point, got pushed out by redlining to Oakland in the 50s. And back then, before the Coliseum was built, there was at least a vote to pay a small tax to bring these to build this Coliseum. And you know, other cities have had the chance, like Buffalo with the Bills, Nashville with the Titans, Oklahoma City with the Thunder. They had the chance to vote and have an opportunity. Even San Diego had a chance to vote to keep the Chargers. They didn't vote in favor, but at least they had the chance.
But I think
maybe Schaaf did not give it. Go ahead.
No, I hear you, but here's where I fall down on this. And we can disagree, agree, whatever. My personal belief, when it's a private entity, whether it's Salesforce, Joe's Liquor Store, the San Francisco Giants, whatever, like, I don't think it's the community's duty to subsidize private entities to make a ton of money. Now, is there going to be some give and take on infrastructure costs and things like that? Absolutely. If you look at all the deals that have been presented over the time, it was never enough, meaning it was never enough for
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.